Blog Talk Radio.
Africans ain't Africans, the talk show that proves without a shadow of a doubt that the so-called African-American didn't find his way to America in the trunk of a ship. I'm your host, the Indigenous One, and today we have a very, very special guest. And this guest will show some of us how we can find our folks and connect back to the land that is here in America. I'd like to welcome Lisa Cypress to African Americans Ain't Africans Radio. Good morning, Lisa.
Hey, thank you. Hello, everyone.
So you can hear me okay?
I can hear you okay. Are you having trouble hearing me?
You're fine. Okay. So how'd you like the opening song?
I liked it. It was great. Catchy and fun. Nice. I love it. Love that. Love the title. Love it. It sounds good.
Okay. Cool.
Nice surprise. I wasn't expecting it.
Oh, well, yeah. You know, I wanted to put a little, a nice vibe in the air before we got started, you know, some nice sounds. So I played that in honor of you and welcoming you to the show.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Great.
Well, before we get started, let me just say the purpose of African Americans Ain't Africans is to show that the people in America that are called Black, Jigaboo, Nigga, Negro, Hebrew, Christian, Greek, Egyptian, blah, 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 those people are like made up cartoon characters. And their
right.
whole purpose in life is to squander their life away.
Right.
This talk, what we do here at African Americans Ain't African, we're not about that. Here's an example I want to give real quick, and then we're going to get into Lisa.
Okay.
This past week, a sister passed away, an actress named Diane Carroll.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, there's millions of actors and actresses, and when you catch one, they leave an imprint on you, whoever it is, and that's with all of us. They leave an imprint on you, and the imprint that this sister left on me was the sister who thought she was something no matter what. People
right.
could look at her a certain way. People can say certain things about her, but she is going to endure on.
Right.
That's the image that Diane Carroll left with me. Now, she could have left Julia. She could have left whatever role she played on you. But the role that she most influenced me on was a movie called Claudine. If you haven't seen it, I would suggest that you see it. Excellent movie.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Excellent movie. So
yep.
I just wanted to give a shout out to Diane Carroll. From African Americans Ain't Africans, hey, you left an indelible mark on the psyche of the people here to endure on, to be something when others say you can't be it. You left that mark, and I want to say thank you. So, good looking out, Diane Carroll. Now,
yeah.
Lisa. The Acomac Indian.
I'll talk about Diane as well. Yeah.
Okay.
Because Diane Carroll, okay, first of all, especially in this Me Too generation, if you kind of really look at her career, she did Carmen Jones, okay, and Carmen Jones was an Otto Preminger film, okay, that cat was he was really scandalous. Talk about casting couches, like Dorothy Dandridge was his side piece, right? We put her in several films, you know, so, you know, Diane just kind of was in the cast and she did her thing, right? Okay, so she just kind of had a very respectful role and everything she picked to do, like she wasn't in everything. She selected, you know, what she was going to do. And it seemed to me she selected how she was going to do it, you know. And she was like, Claudine, but then it was, you know, she was kind of out of picture. She said she did Roots as well, but then she was out of picture for a while, and she did Dynasty, okay? I don't know if anybody recalls Dynasty. She was, Blanche Devereaux or something like that. She was a boss, okay? She was a bad boss chick, the original. And Dynasty, and a cast full of, European actresses, you know what I mean? Actresses of European descent. She was the woman who came, you know, the Indian Negro person that stood out, and she was like the bossiest, baddest one. And it was like unheard of, you know, like I guess it was in the 80s, early 80s, whatever, 70s, early 80s. And I'm like, that was amazing. Like she laid out the carpet for everybody else. Like nobody else did it before her, and really nobody else has done it like her since. You know, on that level, no, not like she did. So, and 84, that's really kind of young. It's kind of soon for her because, you know, I think, you know, a lot of them are living to 90 and stuff like that. So, but she did, I guess, Red had battled cancer pretty early on. So, to live to 84, and she had a diagnosis back in 97, then so she's done her thing. She did really well. So, yeah, bless her family, bless her daughter and her all her extended family. And, you know, glad she's in a better place now. So, yep, that's it.
Cool. Diane Curl, you know, off
Diane
to the
Curl.
Diane Curl off to the stars.
That's right. That's right.
So,
okay.
So Lisa Cypress,
mm-hmm.
Accomack Indians. Tell us about the Accomack, because that name, when you say that name, it has a resonance to it that, you know, you rarely hear like Accomack, you know, because I tell you what, you know what it reminds me of? When we were a little kid, when you know how when we were a little kid and we make up these little rhymes and stuff?
Right, right. Exactly.
And so this was one of ours. You can kiss my Acrobat or my soda cracker, my GTO, my booty hoe. You remember that?
Right.
So that's what when I heard Accomack, that brought me back to that little rhyme we used to say.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know what the connection is, but that Accomack, that sound
right.
that you get from that word, or that I know I want to say a syllable, but it's like meshed in with
right.
it's weird.
Yeah, it's almost like you're singing to yourself, or you are chanting to yourself, or like it just resonates
right.
well. You know what I mean? It
right.
resonates well. Right.
So tell us about the Accomacks.
Well, the Accomacks are the friendliest first people, much to our detriment. A lot we can learn from the Accomacks because we sometimes are too doggone friendly, okay? But we are the friendliest first people. We really helped the first colonists that came here. We are in every story you want to hear about John Smith. John Smith, you know, met the Accomacks. Colonel Ensign Savage, he was living with the Accomacks, took a bunch of land. So every story you want to hear, we're kind of connected to. We were the first to have a reservation in the nation and the first to lose that reservation in the nation because they said we were more Negro than Indian, okay? That outside people had came in that were free Negroes and married with the Indian females, so therefore we were no longer. It was just everything that has been done is a ruse to get our land and to get our country and to get our homeland. So, you know, they wanted the lands that we were on and all anything by any means necessary was the whole directive. So that was the directive. But, you know, as the Accomacks proceed, then all you guys can proceed because our story is everybody's story. And because we went through so much, We're gonna put ourselves out there. We're gonna say exactly what happened. We're gonna say how we were, how the laws, declassified us from our land, homeland, and declassified us from being the true Negro people, the true Negro people that existed when the, Europeans came. They saw Negroes. They saw Negroes with dark skin and curly, gross hair, as the books say. The books say that our hair was gross, okay? The books say that we had big lips and wide, broad noses, okay? That's what their books say. Just that's per William Statuary, written in 1612, okay? That's what he said he saw, okay? So
could you repeat that book one more time, Lisa? One more time, please.
The book, okay, let's be real here, okay. So the book, according to to William Statuary, Statuary, he wrote a book in 1611, The History of, let me get the exact title, of Virginia, and he clearly said what he saw in 1612 as us being brown, various colors of brown. And the only place you're probably going to find this is in this book by William Strachey. He said that we had big lips with a capital L, I-P-P-E-S, and we had broad, flat noses. Broad, wide noses, and gross hair, which is to show you that they obviously did not think our hair was straight like theirs, because
right.
they used the word gross, as
right.
if it was vastly different than what they are accustomed to and what they find attractive, okay? So,
right.
shenanigans, like, let's stop it. Also, the other thing that it says in this book, and I will get the exact title and for you guys in just a moment, is that it actually says that we are not like the Moors. That we were not as ugly as the Moors. That's what it exactly says. So all you people that want to say Moors and all this, the book is called The History of Travel into Virginia. And it's called History, H-I-S-T-O-R-I-E, of Travel, T-R-A-V-E-L-L, into Virginia, Britannia, B-R-I-T-A-N-I-A, written in 1612 by William Strachey, S-T-R-A-C-H-E-Y. Okay? That book, on page, for my copy, it's on, I think, page 140. It reads about, the color. It talks about the fact that we are, how our lips are, and everything. So, I mean, book, you get a copy. Oh, sorry, it's on page 71 in my book. Chapter 5, or actually it's called Caput, C-A-P-U-T 5. And it's in, instead of saying chapters, they say Caput, C-A-P-U-T 5. And that chapter is entitled A True Description of People of Their Color, Constitution, Distribution, and then it says semicolon their apparel. So it says they are generally of a color brown, or rather tawny. That's the first thing it says. And then on the next page it clearly says in black and white, their hair is black, gross, long and thick. The men have no beard. Their noses are broad, flat, and full at the end. Great big lips with a capital L, and wide mouths. And then in parentheses it says, yet nothing so unsightly as the Moors. They are generally tall of nature and straight of comely proportion. The women have handsome limbs, slender arms, and pretty hands. And when they sing, they have a delightful and pleasant tang in their voices. Okay, that's what he saw. So I don't know of any Native Americans with big lips and gross hair and... the broad, flat, and full at the base noses, okay?
Elise, I appreciate you for the work that you do, that you find stuff like this. Because, a lot of people can't see it. I understand right. that most of us, we can't see it. And I really appreciate what you do, and you go get the words that people spoke, talking this stuff that we're talking today, and it's right there.
Right there.
So I really want to say thank you for that.
You're welcome. But, it's the work we all must do. Like, we all are in it together, and we all must do work. And I think that also we need not to be distracted also. Like, don't be distracted by what's going on around you. The political stuff, some of us are like, I'm going to, volunteer my, I have family that's going to volunteer at the polling booth. Like, come on now, this is all a bunch of distractions, okay? The election,
that's all it is.
All this stuff is all a distraction. Stay focused. What we need to focus on is moving in the right direction of getting our information. If you don't have your information kind of clear. Now, okay, so, of course, people contact me, and they want to know how they get from point A to point B. And I'm going to tell
right.
you quite honestly, my point A to point B was pretty fast, but it was really fast because I've been doing genealogy for over 20 years. So all that
right.
information, I knew all my answers. I knew all the names. I just had to plug into the specifics of the tribe, you know. And
right.
in doing that, they reveal themselves to you. Because once you know your people's name and you can resonate, you can say, you know, oh, Cynthia, or oh, Judith, or Judith Cypress, or you can say their name, or, Griffin, you know, Rachel Griffin. If you can speak out their names, you know that your people, you can, they will resonate. They will direct you. You know what I mean? So I started buying books. You got to buy books. You got to go look at books. You got to get books on loan. You got to go to the library. You got to look in the books for your area to find the specific for your people, because they've recorded stuff. It's out there, you know. Just like this is sitting in plain sight. We sit up there trying to talk about Africans and African Americans and Africans, but yet this man wrote clearly. Do you think they put this information in history books that we had big lips?
Right.
That we had broad noses? That's not in history books. Brown skin. Nowhere have we seen in a book that's given to us that our lips were big and our noses were broad at the end, at the base, at the end, it says. So, I mean, so come on now. Our hair was gross. You know what I mean? Come on.
Right.
Gross and thick. Okay?
Hey, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Because this is how I'm getting the picture. Mm-hmm. The way the African American or the indigenous people, African Americans, behave, it's like they're programmed with all of those, you know, like you just explained, the guy said our hair was gross. So is
right.
it because of that? That's what I mean by spale. Is it because of
right.
that we still have this problem with hair and beauty and who we are? Is that the spell that was cast?
Well, I mean, yeah. Anytime you hear something over and over again, and you're like being told and trying to find ways to make your hair different or reflect these other people, yeah, it is a spell. But also, when you're also being subjected by a people, you feel like okay, they get to set the standard. You know what I mean? So for all this time, we've been thinking that, okay, first of all, we don't belong here.
Right.
We're cargo. You know what I mean? Thinking that you're cargo and that you don't belong here, you feel like you're kind of at the mercy, or you're like the guest of someone. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so it just, in your mind, you're kind of, it makes you kind of feel like you got to tap dance a little bit. To whatever they, you know what I mean? So you got to do that little, you know, for them. In your mind,
right.
whether it's
right.
conscious or subconscious, in your mind, you feel like, okay, my place is a little shaky here. I like it here, even though I was captured, but so I got to kind of, you know, play this right. But let me tell you, when your mind shifts and you're like, wait a minute, this is all mine. When you ride
right.
to your car and you're going like I do, I drive up to Virginia and I'm just driving through Georgia, driving up to North Carolina, looking at all the greenery along the parkway, looking at trees and going over the waterways and thinking, oh, this is ours, man. We was like traveling to see each other and doing all what we do. This was all ours, man. You should let your head ticky ticky boom boom like that, like, man. And then when I look at my people, because I live in Decatur, I live in South Decatur, you know, so, you know, my people were at the gas station bothering me and stuff, like, what? But you know what? It changes your whole mindset about even your people. You're like, you're just a beautiful, annoying person. You know what I mean?
Right,
I mean,
right,
it's
right.
Being like, you know what I'm saying? That's where I'm at. Like, I'm like, dang, girl, you amazing. You are just trifling as I don't know what, but you are just, you know what I mean? I love
right.
you.
Right, I got you.
You know? You know, I don't even know if that makes sense, but that's the way that's where I am right now with it. Like, I'm just like, whoa, like, we are freaking amazing. Even in our triflingness, we are amazing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's kind of like, it kind of goes back to what you were talking about, the guy who wrote this stuff, their hair is gross and whatever. It's mm-hmm. it's these words and these terms that make us look at ourselves in the way that you say, like we really don't belong, like we owe somebody
right.
some gratitude or something. You know,
right.
so those
right.
words, those words to me are the spells that they put on us, and it's heavy on
right.
us now. Because let me give you a quick example.
Uh-huh.
Was talking to a lady yesterday, and she came with that Christian stuff,
uh-huh.
and I was like, "Are you familiar with the Christians? Who they are and what they did to people?" She said, "Yeah," and she said, "Yeah, like yeah." So I'm, you know what? I'm taking up for it, cuz. What's up, cuz? She gets out in front of it. I said, well, no, I don't look at Christians like that, because Christians are some of the most heinous. And when I said heinous, she hung up.
You probably said pants down. Yeah.
And I'm like, okay.
Probably started clutching her pearls.
No, so she called back.
Okay.
To her credit, mm-hmm. she called back and she said, "I am sorry." I'm like, no, you're just mm-hmm. acting like a Christian. It's cool. You just, you know, so those titles, those words, to me, they're like casting spells, and those spells stick to us, and we can't, and many
right.
of us can't shake it, and many of us can't shake it.
But I will say this, though. I mean, I know how you feel about that, and I'm very spiritual, you know what I mean? But I also love the study of theology. I find it fascinating, and I feel like I know for a fact that we are, that's why they use Christianity, because they knew we were a very spiritual people. We are very spiritual people. And so they knew that would be a way to get into us. You know what I mean? And so the first thing they printed was a Bible, okay? The first thing they printed was an Indian Bible, first thing off the bat, okay? So, I mean, we got to be, for me and my family, I don't know about anybody else, my family, there's a lot of really strongly Christian people of different walks, like whether they are, you know, Baptist or Methodist or Catholic or whatever they are. We got all kinds of people that are that. So for me, I have to kind of walk on not a tightrope, but I have to be mindful of people's beliefs, because, you know what I mean, I'm trying to bring them in. I'm not trying to cast them away. So, I mean, I'm not going to be able to extinguish, you know, their faith base. You know what I mean? I'm not that I want to, but I just, what I want for them is to understand their heritage, and I want them to understand their identity. And that religious stuff, that's a whole nother thing. I mean, your faith, you know, you walk your walk. I don't even know. This is not part of that. To me, religion
right.
is not part of this whole path. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Religion is something so different. Like, you could be Muslim and be an Indian. You could be Christian
right.
and be an Indian. You could be Hebrew, Israelite, or whatever the heck you want to call yourself, and be an Indian, okay?
That's all outside
of being Indian. Indian is race. It is heritage. It's culture. It's not religion.
I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you say you can be a Muslim and an Indian,
mm-hmm.
you can be a Hebrew Israelite and an Indian.
Right.
Can you explain that? Can you explain how that's done?
Because being an Indian is not your religion. The Indian is not a religion. You know what I mean? Religion is something very, very different. And if you
religion controls your behavior or your
I can't speak for what these
okay.
people are doing. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Everybody's
yeah.
different. Some people
yes, yes.
some people are gonna be extremists. They're gonna be extremely Christian. You know what I mean?
Right.
Zealous.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Some people are going to
yeah.
be Sunday Christians. Some people are going to be couch Christians. They sit on the couch and they might watch the gospel. You know what I mean? There's different levels, you know? So.
Oh, my God. You're right.
Where they are.
Oh, the couch Christian. Oh, boy. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I hear you. I hear you. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But I'm glad you're here to share the Indian side of that and not the religious side, not that all that. And you're here to share that with us.
I mean, I think the more we get that to where it belongs, which is to the side. You know what I mean? If you want to kneel on a mat in the corner and face, that's you. Do you, but do you? You know,
do you, boo?
If you want a Buddha statue, do that over there. You know what I mean?
Right.
If you know what I'm saying? Because Indians are not about control. Like, we were not about really trying to mass control people. That was not how we moved as people.
Right.
So we allow people to have their individualism. As Indians, that's what we do. So I'm not here to say you can't be a Christian, you can't be a Muslim, you can't go do your Buddha thing, you can't do that. But just understand. You know, that what we're talking about is a different thing. It's about culture, and it's about heritage. It's about land. It's about rights. That's what we're talking about. It's outside. That's because, this is so deep that my cousin, who's a Jehovah's Witness, is like, look, I understand this. I get it. Okay? When you have Jehovah's Witnesses saying, I get this, I did a Facebook Live on the street with some Jehovah's Witnesses, strangers. And they were like, what? My heritage? They understand. This is beyond religion. This is This is our culture, our heritage. This is how we identify as people, and we need this badly. Not only for a sense of being able to claim stuff, but just for a sense to be able to resonate right within our soul. We need this.
That's right. You're absolutely right. Well, I want to get into now one of my favorite people. From where you're from. And I hope you can hit on this right now. And everybody knows him. Everybody knows him. Nat Turner. Can you tell us a little bit about Brother Nat?
Okay. Yes, I love that. I love talking about Brother Nat. Because Nat, that name Nat, that's an Indian name. Just off the jump, Nat is an Indian name. Okay. So let's just go with that. And in the Wikipedia that should be coming out this week for the Acomax, I discuss Nat because what we are doing in our Wikipedia for the Acomax, I should say we, because it ain't about me, it's about we. We are putting information that will help every indigenous person because we're gonna talk about 1619. We're talking about Nat Turner, okay, in our Wikipedia because he's on the same. He's in the same county as the Acomax. The Acomax exists in North Hampton County, parts of South Hampton County, and parts of Acomax County. So because of that, he was in there. We related, right? Nat's related to us, right? So Nat's related to the Acomax. Boom. He could be in Acomax. Haven't really gone that deep, but he's right on there. We're all in the same area. Nat Turner's definitely an Indian, okay? I'm not trying to take it to Acomax because I don't want to get into it with the Nat Turner descendants. But basically, the fact is that when Nat had his uprising, it was right after they changed the law that said, okay, okay, let's say you owe, Mama Turner, you owe. You got that spinning, that, you know, what I say in the Acomax Wikipedia is that everybody wanted a spinning wheel. You know how you weave stuff? We weave through the standard way, like weaving through a board or whatever. Well, when the spinning wheels came from England, that was a bad thing. That was like daggone new cell phone. That was like everybody wanted one, right?
Right.
So a lot of times you'll look in the court records, you'll see spinning wheel. Like that was some thing. That was like having a washing machine and nobody had it. You know what I'm saying? So people went in debt for things like that, getting a spinning wheel from England, right?
Right.
So say Mama wanted a spinning wheel, and Nat was like 10, and she was like, they were like, look, you owe for the spinning wheel. We need that little boy to come work with us. He's going to be endangered until he's 30, okay? Okay, all right, you know. So now you're gonna come back home. It's gonna, when you get older, you know, you're gonna come back. And they, and let's be clear, they were able to come back and forth. It wasn't like he couldn't leave the plantation and see his family. He was, they were able to move around more so than what you, what is written in these stories and fake books. Okay,
right.
So basically, he was working on a plantation, indentured servant. They filling him with a bunch of bull. They trying to separate him from his parents. That's what they did. They tried to get you so you were just a slave. You were not an Indian. Okay, so. Nat's 30, okay? They counting. They ain't stupid. They know it's time. But the law was in 1708. You think Indians knew that law existed to change the rule? No, they didn't.
No.
So
right.
They thinking about how it's been. You know, you get free at 30. So when he was not free to 30, and a bunch of them hit 30. A bunch of them, it probably was some kind of little baby boom. You know how we have these baby booms where, you know, a bunch of kids have come occur at the same time. It was probably part of a boom. It was probably a bunch of them that would turn 30. And they were like, we free, right? And they were like, nah, you're going to stay there here forever. And they were like, oh, heck no.
Right.
That was the last Indian war. It was no uprising. It was a war because these are Indian people that found out they had been hoodwinked into being slaves forever.
Right.
And you know what? And it coincides with the end of our reservation as Accomack, which is why I put it in our Wikipedia, because in 1831, the uprising, so-called uprising war happened. At 1831, they said the last people that had the remnants of land for the reservation lost their stuff in Accomack, in Genghis Khan Reservation. They lost it, okay? Why? Because white people were afraid. They were, like, very stressed out because they're killing folks. They're killing folks. Oh, no. And you got Indians with guns all around us. And no. So they had to get rid of – that's why all these laws. You can't carry a gun and be a Negro. What Negroes have a right to carry a gun? Y'all tell me that. You a slave off the bottom of the boat. Why you had got a good gun? Just think about it and then answer. How do you have a right to carry a gun and be Negro?
Right.
Why do you need a law for that? Hello? Their laws reveal the lie. The laws reveal the lie. The stupid daggone people didn't think that these laws would be telling the truth on them.
Right. So they got us through the paper.
They got us through the paper. First of all, we was okay, but the paper is telling the truth about what happened. Anytime you need a law to say a Negro can't fire a gun, a Negro is forever a slave, then you know that we're not chattel, because chattel don't have them rights, okay? Chattel don't have them rights. Chattel's just your piece of property. They do whatever. You don't got to have a law for chattel people, okay?
Right.
Because they ain't people. They're not people. Okay, so after the other thing that set off after Nat Turner was what? The Trail of Tears. 1838, Nat Turner, 1838, Trail of Tears. Why? Why did you explain why the Trail of Tears? Because of that war, that Indian war that was called the Nat. Why is the Nat Turner up? You know how many uprisings? They had hundreds of uprisings. This is not the first one. They had uprisings where white people and black people fought the daggone aristocracy together. There were all kinds of uprisings. But why Nat Turner so famous? It's because it's an Indian uprising. The last war is the last Indian war. The last time they even gave any kind of light to the fact that we were Indian. And they were like, no, we ain't going to call it Indian. We're going to call it the Nat Turner uprising.
Right.
Because they don't want us to be Indian. They know that calling us Indian attaches us to the land. They know that Nat had contact with his Indian relatives who had guns, who were free to come and go and do all kinds of stuff, and that was a problem. So therefore, these people had to be separated. The ones that could claim Indian and were free needed to go away, all the way to Oklahoma.
Yeah, that's the story everywhere. Everybody went to Oklahoma.
No, they didn't, because, you know, a lot of us went all over the place. So in our genealogy, people went to Florida. A lot of people went to Florida. That's why we have the Chenoa tribe in Florida has a connection to the Accomack. They're saying Pamunkeys, but they're wrong. The daggone court records, all them names that they got is actually Accomack. The daggone Stevens and the Perkins and those are all Accomack names. They tried to say Pamunkey because that's a name that's out there. It's been a tribe that's been out there in the public for a long time. But the Accomacks, we haven't been saying nothing. We've been just like radio silent. We haven't been organized in a real political way. We've been organized in a family and a clan way, but not in a political way. Now we're organized politically, so hello. But anyway, we have people going to North Carolina, people going as far as Canada, people going to Montana. We went all over the place. Let the record show that in the time of the Trail of Tears, we went all over. Texas, the famous Anthony Johnson, who was supposedly the first slave owner, the first wealthy person in the Americas, supposed to be of African descent when he's an Accomack Indian. His people actually end up fleeing, and we're not going to say migration. We're going to say being fleeing or being forced, because we were forced off of our land. We did not migrate as a daggone choice or like, yeah, we just migrated. We were forced off of our lands to Texas, Montana, Canada, North Carolina, South Carolina, Florida, what have you, up north, Providence, New York, New Jersey. We moved all over. Pennsylvania.
Another thing about Virginia that's real kick ass that I think is the use of tobacco and the agriculture of that area. Could you give us a little insight on that?
Ooh, okay. So I was I'm gonna go ahead and go back because we got a lot of stories in our own genealogy. So I always refer back to our own genealogy as Accomack. So my sister was arguing. She said, well, Big Mama said that her grandmother or whoever, he looked like an African. So she was real dark, and she was talking in this language nobody could understand, and she was sitting in the corner smoking a cob pipe. I said, Deborah. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to say her name, but shout out to my sister Deborah. She was like, I said, Deborah, tobacco's us. I said, her records showed that she migrated from Louisiana. Them dark Indians down there, not migrated, but was actually transported. She was actually carted because she was a very good cook. So she came from Louisiana. She smoked a cob pipe. I said, smoking tobacco, that's us, boo-boo. Tobacco is us all the way. It's indigenous to America. So if you got a lady speaking gibberish and she's smoking tobacco, that is her Indian heritage. Okay, she's doing
that. Right.
You know what I'm saying? So a lot of times, We are because we've been programmed to Africa. That's where we go when we see something. I have somebody who lives in the Virginia area who says, I'm a Guinea. My grandmother was Guinea. They think that means New Guinea. They think that means Africa Guinea. But you have to put your ancestors in the context of time, boo boo. Guinea.
Right.
You know how many countries are Guinea? You know a lot of places are Guinea. Even America. Louisiana's people are Guinea. They call them Guinea, okay? They call some people in South Carolina Guinea. Guinea is a term that's used in Central America, South America, Louisiana, New Guinea Islands, Papua Guinea. We got there are multiple places in the world where people are called Guinea. That does not mean your ancestor was African. Put your ancestors in the context of where they were. Retrace your answers to actually where they actually came from, and don't assume they're African just because you got some doggone stupid DNA, which is a lie. and because your DNA says you're African, and your foreign family oral history says Guinea, then you think you African. Boo! First of all, it wasn't called Guinea, okay? When your great grandmama was born, that part of Africa was not called Guinea. Boo boo! No. Okay, so that's one problem, and then the other problem is, we want to just jump back to that. And then the other thing I said, okay, so if you are African, have you been connected to your African cousins? Where are they? Because I get connected to people that are so called African American, but how about the African? Why aren't I connected to African cousins? You should ask yourself if that's where you're from. No answer. Where's the cousin? Where's the auntie? Where's all these African kin that you should have? Because they know exactly where you're from, right? So where are your family?
Wow.
No answer.
I mean,
no answer.
Because they don't have an answer. Because it's mostly probably not even true. And I think that's
right.
One of the problems that we have. You can tell the African American anything. See, this is what
right.
I don't get. I know everybody like, well, they can be what they want to be. And they, yeah, all right. But come on, man.
This is the other thing people say. I'm proud of being everything. I'm a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And a little bit of this and a little bit of that don't make you nothing. Claim what you are. Okay? I'm so sorry. Okay?
So this is one I get a lot. I get this one a lot. You don't tell me what to be. I can be whatever I want to be. You ain't my daddy.
Really?
Oh, man. It's and I don't take it personal because I realize people want to know and they've been told this story over like a broken record and that's all
right.
they know. So they're
right.
going to repeat that. And when you tell them,
right.
when you show them how stupid it is and they see how stupid it is for the first time, they're not attacking you. They're attacking themselves because they realize they've been a nitwit for the past 50 years. That's
right.
all it is.
Right.
They're not mad at you.
Yeah.
You
right.
know, because I show it all the time. I do it all the time. It's just common
right.
sense. Stuff that a roach would know. You know, seriously. And we don't. And we another thing.
Yeah.
We know it, but we ignore it and bullshit it off for so long, we'll go into pretending like we don't know it's there.
Right.
We do that a lot. So,
right.
Very interesting. So, finish up about the tobacco.
So, tobacco. Oh, so excited. So this is the thing. So, we used our own. We had our own indigenous tobacco to America that we smoked, right? Evidently, I don't know, the story goes, it wasn't strong enough, or I don't know what it was, to the best liking to the, you know, colonialists, so they went to the islands and got some other breed of coca, of tobacco and brought it here and was able to make a big old profit out of it. I don't know if that's true or not, because they lie so much, whatever the case. But we know that we had tobacco here, the islands, we're all Americas, you know, people, whatever. So it was our tobacco that they were selling and making a killing off of. But we're not making any money off of the tobacco that is indigenous to our own people. Okay, so
right.
I'm talking to my daughter and watching some kind of YouTube rapper, and he's talking about tobacco and how he wraps his leaf in tobacco and he mixes his weed with tobacco. And I was like, oh, okay, I didn't know, tobacco leaves, right?
Right.
And he calls it by a particular name, and I'm sorry, I don't recall exactly what name he used, but I don't even recall which rapper it was. But basically, I was watching, and I was like, oh, I actually rewatched it and got the name down, Googled the name, and found a company in Virginia that makes, that actually has Virginia tobacco leaves that they actually cure by heat and sell it. And when I brought it, it only cost like $16. And the thing is a huge tobacco leaves. It's like a pound of like huge tobacco leaves, and it's amazing. I'm gonna have it on display at the summit because it is amazing. This huge tobacco leaves is like awesome to see. Like I didn't expect it to come in the mail and look like this. Like how ignorant are we of our own culture? You know,
right.
our own plants, our own
right.
agriculture. You know what I mean?
Right.
We're the experts on this, and I'm like, I hadn't even seen a real tobacco leaf. I feel ridiculous, right? Right? You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, you know, so I mean, we have to get back to that. Like, okay, let's grow our own tobacco. They're not going to kill us with all the toxins that this stuff
right.
that they have infused
right.
into us is going to do. It's not, let me tell you, that we lived over 100 years. The tobacco is not what's killing you. It's what they do to the tobacco that's killing folks, okay? It's
right.
the type of tobacco and what they doing to it that's killing folks, okay? the way you enact change as an Indian is by blowing tobacco off across a waterway. It's very powerful. And as Tasha X, I was talking about, somebody stole her tobacco. You know, tobacco.
You blow it off. Say that again.
Off a waterway. Like you have to be at a water, like at a river or a creek or a stream or a waterfall or an ocean or a bay. You blow it off the edge of a waterway, and that's how you really make things happen with your ancestors. You get them to do things for you. You enact movement and change in your life by blowing tobacco off a waterway. You know, that is very powerful, powerful spiritually for us to do that. So, you know, it's a very. I'm gonna have tobacco. I'm gonna have some peace pipes with little covers.
Another question that deals kind of with that. And this is a big social thing that's going on in America right now. The legalization of marijuana is becoming legal everywhere.
I'm very afraid about that. Know why?
Okay.
Y'all should be very afraid.
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Not because of weed. There's nothing wrong with the weed. As you know, and I've had my mindset change about that. I have various views about that. But my problem with it is that they just tried to kill us for the last time with the daggone oxycodone. Oxycodone, they put up pharmacies in every daggone corner of the neighborhood in Decatur and every other black neighborhood you know of. They put up brand new pharmacies all over where we live, okay? And then that friggin' failed, and now we got a whole bunch of daggone Family Dollars and where the daggone pharmacies were, okay? So now the next thing they're going to use is the weed. They're going to kill us with some weed, y'all. Don't even get twisted. They're going to mess up our minds. They're going to kill us off with some weed. You must be careful. You must need, if you're going to smoke weed, I suggest you start growing your damn own, because they're going to kill us with weed. They're going to get us, okay?
So my question was, being that the South is agricultural, you know, I guess from Louisiana all the way up to Virginia, since it's agricultural and since this weed is becoming huge now, so it's big business, and that's one of the things I was saying. For us to get in it and grow our own, you know, like you say, like I ask Negroes everywhere,
this is a plot. We already have that sold up. We're not gonna get into that and make anything out of that. They've been illegally profiting off of this forever. Okay, so. I'm involved with the Economic Development Committees in Virginia. There's a sister that's been trying to get her idea hydroponic going for like 5 or 6 years now. It can't get off the ground, okay? So
why can't it get off the ground?
Because they don't want us to get off the ground on this.
Okay, so this is the whole point of everything. This is what I mean. We look at stuff like they look at it. I mean, aren't we to the point where it's past fuck what they want? They don't ever want anything good for us, and they're never going to want anything for us. The problem I get from it is that we start looking at it how they look at it, and that's what fucks us up.
Right. Well, I mean, that's going to be the way we need to win on this, because like I said, they're going to try to kill us with their weed. We need to start growing our own, okay?
That's the point
together.
I was making about the South.
Right, and that's as you get your people together and you got a plot of land, okay, I don't care. There's people that's growing crops and making money just out of a daggone half acre lot, okay? There ain't no
growing
deal.
What?
You can grow things a half acre lot. You can grow things in your house. You can grow things on a quarter of an acre. You don't need a lot to start growing and making money.
You see white people
being urban garden specialists making money off half acre lots that ain't even theirs, okay? You can make money. You can grow things.
One of the things, what's his name? He's the guy, black labor, white wealth, Claude Anderson. He came to LA about 20 years ago and tried to get the people to invest in a hydroponic system for fish in LA, which it would never work because it would be too expensive. And I was like, why don't you do that down south? They got all the lakes and creeks. They got all the big yards and all the big farms. And you can make, fish ponds all over the place. And at that time, they all laughed and said I was dumb. And so, and then I come down to the south 20 years later. And if you drive through Alabama, Mississippi, that's all these people got in their front yards is fish ponds. The way we're stuck about things, the way we look at things, the way we always running off at the yap, and we not even know what we're talking about. It's simple.
As you move, right. As you're right about that. That's absolutely right. Because as you move, like where we are as in the Accomack, we're just trying to get our stuff together as far as making moves, as far as, okay, now we're Indian. Now what do we do? Now we get you do your affidavit. You got to have your enrollment. You got to get your family. You got to talk on the phone with everybody in your doggone family and get them on board. And then and then as you get your family together, okay, so now what? As you ask for land, or you get land, or you buy land, or you get grants, what are you gonna do with that daggone money? So you have to have a plan, just like you're saying, Buck. You got to have a plan of what you're going to do. You cannot write for a grant, y'all, without having a plan and a budget, okay?
Right.
So if you write a grant, let's say you write a grant, and so the first thing you're going to be like, okay, what are you going to do? Oh, I'm gonna go ahead and I'm going to start a farm where I'm going to have holistic, non-GMO, a hemp plant. Okay, fine. Do that, okay? And this is how we're going to do it. We're indigenous people. We are preserving the original hemp of the Americas, blah, 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 blah. We're going to use very holistic ways of growing it. We're going to go back to our indigenous ways of cultivating and feeding our crops. We're going to compost.
Right.
We're going to do that. You know what I mean? You go and you research. The actual plants are at risk. Also, do research, y'all. You got to research. What plants are endangered species in your state? Like, what are these endangered creatures and animals? Key terms, conservation, protection, agriculture.
Right.
These are key terms. Those are money terms because money flows to those kind of things. So you got to start thinking about things in that way, in a way that you can generate business, and a way you can generate funds coming to you. Protecting the environment is a way that are key terms of where you will not only get money from grants, but you can get investors and contributions, okay? You have to form your 501c. That's the first thing you're going to do. First thing you're going to do is say, I'm a corporate, I'm a 503. You're going to be a corporation first off. Corporation,
right?
You're going to also have a 501c. Boom, you're both, right? Then you're going to be like, we're fucked. That's right. And then you're going to go, and then you're going to say, okay, now people, we got this. Now what? Okay, now I need to get my people in order. Come on, family. Let me talk to cousin by cousin. Cousin by cousin, I'm going to get you in the right mindset. It takes hours, y'all. So everybody watching the news and doing freaking bullshit and watching stupid videos, you need to be on the phone with your family, okay? Get on the damn phone. Talk to your daggone cousin because you got lead cousins that pull in the rest of their family, like the oldest ones, the ones that somebody respects. You'd be like, look, I'm going to have a two-hour conversation with your ass so we can understand who we are, okay, and get on the same page and devise a plan. They have to understand what you're doing. They have to understand who you are as a people and what direction you're moving in. And then you can move. I have now over 200 people in my family that are enrolled.
Right.
My own kids think I'm freaking crazy, okay?
Right.
But I got cousins and from all over the country that's on board. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Right.
Everybody ain't going to be for this. Everybody ain't going to be all the way down. But there's a lot of people in your family that need it, that, and a lot of the ones that need it ain't gonna be, aren't gonna be able to grasp it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Aren't gonna, they living in a, they getting evicted from a trailer, but they don't see, they ain't got no kind of impetus to use their non-working asses, you know what I mean, to help you and to help your people get from A to B. They ain't doing nothing. They don't have a job, okay?
Right.
You're sitting in a good trailer, a good rental of something, and you are sitting up there. You don't have time. You're not working.
Right.
To work to get your people elevated, to work to get yourself elevated.
Right.
You can't even talk sense to somebody like that. You can't talk sense to somebody who don't have a job, who is living, you know, living on the bare edge of life, who does not see the sense in you finding another way.
Right.
I can't, you may not be able to pull them over. You know what I mean?
Right.
They're going to be the stragglers that's going to be scratching at the door later. You know what I mean?
Right.
Scratch, scratch, scratch. What's that noise? You're going to be sitting down to your big old turkey dinner with everybody, and we all going to be cheering it up to each other, toasting it up. And then there's going to be scratches at the door of those cousins. And, you know, they just did not get it. You know what I mean? They didn't get it. It is.
Right.
It is what it is. I mean, everybody's going to be different. And, you know, it's okay. It's annoying. But it is what it is. It is what it is. But in the meantime, you have to have a business plan. Do you know what? America is a friggin' business, y'all. Understand the United States is a corporation. You are just a commodity, y'all. Okay? What we're doing is we're getting ourselves out of being a commodity and United States corporation, and we are making our own corporation. That's what this Indian thing is about. That's all it is. And everybody in your family is a part of that corporation. They are the property of the corporation. I'm a property of the corporation. Everybody's a property of the corporation. Instead of being a part of the corporation of the United States, we're a property of the corporation of the Akamat. You're a property of the corporation of Yamacraw. Why ain't nobody a Yamacraw? I don't understand it. Somebody in this daggone planet is a Yamacraw. I don't understand why nobody claims it. There's so much written about it. If you jump into that daggone identity, you're going to have it a host of information about you. The Yamacraws went to daggone England and met with the queen and the king. What the hell? The Yamacraws are so interesting. If you're from Georgia or South Carolina and those islands around Savannah, why the hell do you not know your identity? You need to find your Yamacraw roots, okay? Whoever you are who lives out there who's trying to be a Yamasee, them damn niggas that daggone sold people into slavery, why are you trying to be a Yamasee? You might be a Yamacraw.
Right. Right.
Anyway.
You said a lot. You're listening to African Americans Ain't Africans Radio, and we're speaking with one of the Akamak's own, Lisa. I think of Lisa. What information can you give for people who are just hearing this information? How they could start? What's the first thing that they should do?
The first thing,
you know,
because I have people do this all the time. They be like, how do I? And they wanna jump on board and be an Akamak. Well, I don't do no fraudulent crap, so you can forget about me falsely making you an Akamak. It ain't gonna happen, because when it comes down to us doing all these claims, then it might be they start special committees to daggone research our shit. So I'm not gonna. So my shit's going to be right, okay? So forget that. But I will direct you into, you know, finding your own. And the way you do that is you start doing a search of all the grandparents you know and all the birth dates. Maybe you know only people in the 1900s, 1910 or 1918, maybe 1929, maybe 1940. I don't know who the last people you know, because a lot of us don't even know our father. But I had a gentleman who was like, he didn't know his father, and I was like, I don't feel like doing this. I got a lot I'm doing for my own. I'm trying to do for my own with the world. And so I felt bad because he just lost his mother. So I was like, let me look and see what I can find. I ended up finding somebody who was of the same weight and height of this brother, same last name, right daggone date of birth or at least year of birth, the vicinity. And they, he said, I can't believe it. He has the same weight, exact weight and height as me, because we found his military record. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, a lot of times you can find things you can't, you don't understand you can find. And then also, that's when DNA does could become handy. Like, if you don't know your mama or your daddy, like, maybe you don't know, you know, your mama or your dad. I mean, don't be upset. Like, don't be like, there's no chance. That's when you do use DNA. Because then you find your first cousin. You'll find second cousins and first cousins from your mama or daddy's side. And then, you know, that's when it's helpful. Because if they can't find that, they can't tell you that you're African because you ain't. But they can find your cousins who took the test. Which is why if you are somebody who doesn't have a mother or you don't have a father information, you should do it, and you should do many of those DNA tests, because it could be you use Ancestry and they use something, you know, whatever, what is it, me, something, 23andMe, you know. So I would do several of them. Just try to do, several different tests. You know, maybe this year you can afford to do one, and maybe later next year you do another test, because between all those tests, you might find a cousin, and that's going to clue you into your genealogy, okay, and your people.
Right.
But that's why I suggest for people who say, well, I don't really know who my dad is. That's nothing to be ashamed about. We come from a people who are fractured, okay, and even, believe you me, even in the people that got both of mom and dad, we fractured. Sometimes these people that we have parents, they didn't know what the hell they were doing. They were fractured. And they did things that kind of mess us up. You know what I mean? So don't be upset that you don't have this or you don't have that. We're not perfect people. We're fractured people that were fractured intentionally, okay? We were in a society where we were raised by a community of people together. And we all shared, we all watched, and we learned from each other. And we took the time with each other, and we nurtured each other. All that was ruined. Okay, ruined, destroyed. We were separated. We were compared to each other, light to dark, dark to light, nappy to straight. We was all kinds of mind games have been done to us. So we're fractured people, but we're a very strong people, resilient people. So we don't really fracture. We just bend. Okay, so basically, just snap back into it. Let's keep it moving. Just because you don't know something, this is a day and age where you can find out things you couldn't find out before. So I would empower you to just go ahead. First of all, find out the people you can find out about. Call people. Use Facebook. Reach out to people with your same last name from the same area of the country that you're from. You think you're not related, baby, it's most likely that you are. A lot of times you say, oh, we Jacksons, but we ain't the same Jacksons. That's some bullshit. If you're from the same county, you know what I mean? If you're from the same damn county and you got the same damn last name, believe me, it's what you don't know is that when y'all were connected. Y'all may not have been connected in this, you know, last 50 years. Y'all connected 200 years ago, okay?
Right, right.
That's what we don't know. We always hear that, oh, we Johnsons, but we different Johnsons. Oh, we Andersons, but we are different. Nah, you just don't know. Y'all are the same people. You got to go back far enough, and you'll find out where you connect. It's like Cypress is Cypress, but we a different Cypress. No, you ain't different. That friggin' Cypress is really very specific name. If you're Cypress, you definitely connect. Like, and we all come from Virginia, so I don't care where you are in this country, you're connected to us.
Okay, well, listen, I got a text real quick, and Lisa told me to ask you, Lisa. That's funny. She said her grandparents, her grandmother's parents, died when they were young of tuberculosis. What would be the best way to find them or to find anything on them?
Dying young is not a dead end at all. Not at all. That's happened a lot in our families where people died at 20 or 17 or whatever. Several people in my family have died. I have one great-grandparent who died, and he was 24. He owned a farm before he died. But that's not a dead end, because you find out he married somebody right before he died. He still had brothers and sisters that still went on to live. So that's not that somebody dying of tuberculosis is not at all a dead end. You just got to start where they live and just go back to their parents. And also understand that you find a parent, okay? You look at their death record, first of all. If they got a death record, it's going to show you their parents, okay?
Right.
Point blank, period, is going to show their parents. So that's it. You find a parent, then you're going to find siblings. You find siblings, you also can find people who are working on the tree of that person so that your work becomes cast immediately. Because you may not have done the work, but one of them siblings of your deceased great-grandfather or grandmother has done work. And so then all of a sudden you've got this wealth of information about your family that you didn't even know existed.
Right. Wow.
That's how you get somewhere. Now, understand that some people got secrets. I ran into a brother who was a friend who's been a friend of my family since childhood, right? And he's been hitting me up daily because he's on this. He's a voodoo priest, y'all. He's a voodoo priest, right? And all of a sudden, he's an Indian child. He's an Indian. He was an African voodoo priest, big time, organizing in New York and New Jersey. And now he's a full Indian, right? Calling me every day because he is on it trying to get his research, right, on his family. Well, his family had a lot of lies because there was a murder. You know, one of his grandparents murdered somebody and changed, like, moved around and changed names. There's a lot of shenanigans going on, right? So in his genealogy, it was a headache. They move around. They disappear. I mean, it's very, very hard. That's just one of his great-grandparents. What I explained to him was that is just one. You have three others, okay? I will probably kill myself if I have to work anymore on that one great-grandparent because he got too much going on. I said, let's look at some of your others, you know? I looked at some of his other grandparents, and we found somebody who they owned a whole farm. And they owned a whole farm in Virginia. And, you know, a lot of information available, you know? So, I mean, that's the whole thing. You also have to understand, like, sometimes you got to go with the path of least resistance. Not only is it a path of least resistance, some of these dead folks don't want you knowing their business. So you go moseying in their business, and they ain't going to let you know, okay? Right. So sometimes the resistance is for a reason. So when you go in the path that opens up, tick, 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 and that's when they want you to find them. They want you to know them. They want to help you, okay? So always look for that path where they want to be found as well. You know what I mean? And go with that. Now he has an ancestor who all this information exists. He wants to go and find a farm. Where is the farm in Virginia? Where was it? You know, all this stuff opens up to you. You know what I'm saying? So I would go with that and also understand that you got four great-grandparents now. And a great-grandparent for most of us who are in the 50s or 40s will put you into possibly the 1850s, 1860s, 1870s. So that's pretty far back. And then from there, it's pretty easy to connect to whether they stayed in that area and the people they come from, the tribe that they come from, because, you know, the European Americans kept great records of us. They got all kinds of books, research, they got all our bones, they got all our arrowheads and everything. So your information's out there about your tribe. I don't say tribe, but like we said, kingdom or nation is right out there. Okay, your people's information's out there.
Wow. So I hope the listeners can understand what this sister's saying because she's giving you a plate full. So Lisa, before we head out, we got a few more minutes to go. Tell us about the summit, upcoming summit that you're having next month. I mean, next week, 2 weeks from now. Tell us a little bit about that.
Less than 2 weeks from now, on the 19th of October in Indiantown Park, which is Eastville, Virginia, also known as Cape Charles, Virginia. We are having the Indigenous Indian Summit from 1 to 6 o'clock, and it is for people of Negroid heritage only. And the reason for that is because we know as Accomack Indians that that's what we always were. It's not a racist thing. It's just a fact, okay? It's not to be excluding people. It's just like this is very specific. We love our neighbors. We love our community. We love our European friends and stuff. We are the friendliest first people in the nation. Let's not get it twisted. However, this is a very specific. It's like a reunion of people. This summit is like a reunion of indigenous people. So if you are interested in finding out more about being indigenous, the history of America and the indigenous people of America, if you are interested in finding about genealogy, Tasha X, I will be there. You've got Gabriel Rich is going to be there talking about the history of indigenous people. We're going to have, you know, Buck Wellum is going to be there, and he's going to be talking about where do we go from here? What about the future? What are we going to be doing from this point on? Let's get our business minds together. Let's get our plans together. Also, I believe Gabriel is going to talk about 2020, the 2020 census, and what we need to be prepared for in that. It's going to be great. We're going to have a DJ. We're going to have a saxophonist. We're going to have, hopefully, I'm going to have this brother who is a bow hunter. He only hunts with bow and arrow only, and he's actually being paid for and sponsored. That's how good he is, that these companies are sponsoring his butt and getting him free bows and arrows because he's that good of a marksman. And he's going to be showing, he said he can teach anybody how to hit a bullseye. So that's pretty cool. We're going to have all kinds of information available. You know, poster boards, people selling jewelry, people selling their other items, food trucks. We're going to have a ceremony at the end to just kind of bring us together and try to get us all the mindset of, you know, thinking about our ancestors all at the same time and actually bringing them all together. The park that it is in is actually the former land that was a reservation that was a prison camp. It was a prison camp / reservation. It was to take us off our desirable land, which is on the Bayside, which is beautiful. All of it's beautiful, but the Bayside is particularly beautiful and sandy. And we were put over to the seaside. And you know, like anytime you separate people from what their indigenous property is, that is a hardship. Anytime you take certain ones and do certain things with them, that is to restrict you, that is to control you, that is to daggone subjugate you. And so that land that we are going to have the summit on is like we will have the opportunity to heal that park of all the atrocities and, you know, all the history that is there because there's a lot. And that same reservation was taken away in 1831 after the Nat Turner Indian War, and it was, and now it's called Indian Town Park. So that's why where we're meeting is very significant as well. So it's going to be great. Oh, well, I'll also have some peace pipes with covers in a little corner where people who are interested in smoking tobacco or herbal mixes that are non-nicotine will be available as well. And, you know, it's not for everybody. Everybody doesn't want to smoke, but there are people that do. And so that'll be there for them. There's a playground for the kids. And, you know, that's where we're going. That's what it's going to be.
Well, cool. Well, we hope everybody who's listening, everybody who listens to this in the upcoming days who are in that area could make it on by. And you've seen what you learned today. Your sister dropped a whole bunch of hints that we could all use. And that's the purpose of us all, to all, like they say, each one teach one. We had each one teach 1,000 now. So,
right.
Lisa, I want to say thank you for coming. Thank you for sharing with us. And I'm looking forward to the summit.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're coming. It's going to be great. And also, don't get it twisted. There's a lot of surprises. There may be people showing up that you don't expect to see there. I've had a lot of people who said they will try to make it. I'm not going to mention no names because I don't want to put anybody in a position where, you know, they may not be able to make it and you're disappointed. But there's a lot of people, speakers, YouTube people that are, you know, saying they will be there as well. So you will have the chance to meet and talk and greet and network with people that, you know, you have only seen on the screen or heard their voices. So this is going to be pretty awesome. I look forward to seeing you too. I'm so glad that you're coming. I'm so thankful and so blessed that, you know, these people have, you know, welcomed me and welcomed, you know, me into like even coming, saying that they will come. You know, these, I'm just, I'm humbled by it, seriously. Like, I am just humbled that, and a lot of people that, even if they're not coming, just that they would hit up, say, you know, say, I might be there, and you know who you are, for you to say that you will try to make it, I really am just like, thank you for even saying that you would try to make it. Thank you for even trying to say that you would book, because, you know, we weren't able to actually accommodate everybody, and we weren't able to actually, you know, everybody wasn't able to say they were going to come. But the fact that you would even give a consideration out of your busy lives and what everybody's trying to do, I so appreciate that. So thank you so much. Thank you so much. Buck, it's so great that you had me on the show. I enjoyed it.
Well, I will thank you for joining us. I really appreciate it. This was a really good one.
All right, cool.
So, hey, we'll see you next time. Thank you. I want to thank everybody for joining us at African Americans Ain't Africans, listening to this show. We're just getting back in the scheme of things, and we're going to be doing some cool stuff upcoming. So pay attention to the ads. We're going to be sending out emails and everything, because we got work to do, y'all. So until next time, we'll see you later. Peace.